Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Screen Geeks Radio. This is Dave.
This is Barry.
And Josh.
Yay, Josh is back with us again. Yay. That was Reliant K singing I'm Getting Nothing for Christmas in honor of the good Mr. Marty Wurst.
That's right. Marty suffered one Christmas Eve. He knows the meaning of that song more than I think anybody else I know. So it's for you, Marty.
Yes, sorry about the bit of a delay. Things are back on track again, though, so we should be getting rolling.
Yay.
And hopefully we'll even have a logo on the website here pretty soon, too.
Ooh, yes. Stay tuned.
Yes, along with other things that will be coming up. So, yes.
That's right.
Cool. Well, thanks for joining us again, Josh.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yay. Yes, and so this week we're talking about Coal Under the Christmas Tree, awful, awful Christmas movies, along with a few traditions that we all have and stuff.
Not to mention all the awful, awful movies that are in theaters right now at a theater near you.
Yeah, you look at what's coming out and it's mostly crap. So let's go ahead and talk about what came out this weekend.
Well, this week we had a holdover. This is an old, old film that just got released this week, Hayden Christensen and Jessica Alba in Awake. That's it.
Okay, yeah, and Josh just got back from
seeing it. Yeah, so let's hear the full report.
Just saw it like 2 hours ago, yeah.
It was decent. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
It wasn't Star Wars bad from Hayden Christensen?
No, he actually did a decent job.
Now tell us what this is about, because it's an interesting story.
Yeah, the trailer actually, it was good that the trailer didn't give everything away, but he's this huge business tycoon, and he inherited from his dad. And he has like a really bad heart, so he's going in for a heart transplant surgery. And during the procedure, when they put him under, he can actually hear everything that's going on. And the doctors plan on killing him for reasons that I won't give away because that would be spoiling the movie.
Sure. It kind of gives it away in the trailer, though, doesn't it?
Kind of, but I didn't, like, the first time I saw the trailer, I was like, what surgery is he having? And,
okay.
Like, it didn't. And Jessica Alba is his girlfriend, and there's all kinds of twists and stuff. The only thing bad I have to say about it was the twists, while clever, just made the bad guys look so freaking stupid. And the fact that their doctors just didn't, like, it was like, you're a doctor, but yet you couldn't really plan all this out. And so I don't know, it was decent. I'd say probably a really good renter.
Okay, cool.
You'd be satisfied if you rented it.
Or catch it on a matinee or something.
Right? Yeah, definitely. We went this afternoon, so we didn't have to pay over $20.
Yeah.
Was there anybody else in the theater?
Six people.
Wow.
Wow.
Six people. So.
Yeah, I didn't until you started describing it. I've seen the trailer, and it looked kind of interesting.
It was interesting, and all the stuff with Hayden being under and hearing what they were doing, and he could feel them, you know, cutting him open and stuff. That was actually pretty intense and scary. So that was definitely the best part of the movie, but it switches between being a thriller and being like a drama. So it's kind of like on that edge. It was okay. I'd probably give it like a 6.
Okay.
Seems like a weird time for a movie like that, you know.
Yeah.
You know, between you know, either a movie where a guy gets cut open and hears about it, or Enchanted. It's a really weird a weird option.
Which, did you guys already talk about Enchanted, I'm sure, last week?
No, I haven't had a chance to yet.
I liked Enchanted.
Okay, it's really good.
I want to see it.
It was really good.
At the same time, you know, I have a free ticket to go see Hitman. Still haven't used it.
No, I would give that to.
Why don't? Here's what
Christmas
you do.
Present stocking stuffer.
That's special colon of the
Christmas. You use that ticket to go see Hitman and sneak in Enchanted.
Yeah.
No, I'm proud to say I want to. I proudly say I want to see Enchanted.
Okay.
So, yeah.
It was good.
Yeah, we should have a brief recap of the things.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
I'll say I didn't like Enchanted as much as everyone else because I thought the ending felt too rushed. I thought once Susan Sarandon showed up and in the live action thing, and like the whole climax, you know, with the giant dragon and everything, it felt like it was so rushed and it was over before it started.
I wish the dragon wouldn't have talked. That was the biggest disappointment because I was like, I wanted it to be like this scary, because all the dragons in the Disney movies are pretty scary and threatening.
The one in Sleeping Beauty is really frightening.
So instead it was like this, like, cartoony Susan Sarandon dragon. You're like, oh, we already know she's a dragon, so I don't even.
Right. But beyond that, I thought Amy Adams gave an incredible performance. Talk about like an unplayable, impossible role.
Yeah.
And she made it something really special, I thought. And I loved all her scenes with Patrick Dempsey. I thought the musical number in Central Park was wonderful. I mean, what a surprise.
And all the different references to all the other Disney movies.
Yeah.
It was really great.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Very cool. And Marston, how's Mr. Marston in it?
Very funny, actually, I thought.
Who? Oh,
James
Cyclops?
Marston is.
Yeah, Cyclops, yes.
Cyclops was good.
That's why I bring it up, because he was so good in Superman Returns. You're like, what happened with X-Men? And it just seems like it was weak writing overall.
Did you catch the Superman Returns in joke, where he's in Times Square and you actually see Superman Returns poster looming over his shoulders?
Oh, yeah. Was that like supposed to be a joke?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was like, oh, that's when they filmed it.
that's what goes
through my head, is like, oh, they were in Times Square. And, yeah.
Very cool. So. Did we see anything else over the past few weeks?
I love The Mist.
Me too.
Freaking love The Mist. Yep. I think it's one of the best films of the year. I couldn't have loved it more.
I really liked it.
We have a spectator too. This week, so yes.
My mom's here, and she's sprouting.
My mom, yes. Yeah, and a lot of people are very split about it. I mean, most people have a real bone to pick with the ending, which I honestly, not only did it completely knock me flat, but I thought it was very much just kind of in vain with the whole movie. I mean, it's a really dark, bleak movie about death impending and all these people.
And it was great. I thought the stuff that was going on in the store is way more scary than what was actually going on outside.
It's creepy stuff.
And I thought the acting was great. I thought Thomas Jane did like a phenomenal job.
Yeah, he's great in that movie.
The special effects, why they weren't great, they fit what the movie was, I thought, very well.
So, I thought the spiders were very freaky.
Oh, yeah, the spiders were cool. Yeah, I forgot about that. And the all the wasps and the dragon stuff. Yeah, that was cool.
And I thought Marcia Gay Harden was seriously scary as the creepy lady.
The crazy lady.
Yeah, that was interesting stuff. I mean, I know people have been like saying like, well, is this movie like attacking religious groups? I say, no, it's picking on like it's a Jim Jones, Charles Manson situation where this hysteria leads to this religious outcry of murder. And in some senses, that's even scarier than any of the monster stuff that's going on.
Yeah, definitely, by far.
Yeah, see this movie, Dave.
Okay.
You need to see it. You will really like The Mist, I think.
Very cool.
And it was very classic, like, monster movie, not, like, Hostile or anything like the in-your-face horror. It's very, like, subtle.
It reminded me of Aliens in some sense.
Really?
Yeah, a little
bit. Okay. Yeah. I'm there. Cool. All right, let's go ahead and move on to the DVDs.
Yes.
There's more than one thing coming out on DVD.
Yes. This week in DVD reviews, we have Pirates of the Caribbean at Land's End?
At World's End.
World's End. Whatever.
End of my ropes for this series.
End of this ridiculous trilogy. One of the best films of the year, Superbad, is coming to DVD. Yes. Battlestar Galactica, Razor, coming out. Saturday Night Live Season 2 with the original cast. That's Belushi, Aykroyd, Chevy Chase. But I think that's pre-Bill Murray, so it's right before Bill Murray showed up. The Rocky Complete Saga. That's right. For those of you who need all 6 episodes of the Rocky Balboa Saga, this is the DVD.
You got to do what you got to do.
That's right. And finally, a movie I'm embarrassed to say I saw when it was in theaters, The Nanny Diaries, is also coming to DVD too. So
yeah, Battlestar Galactica Razor, for, I don't know if either of you watched the show.
No.
I haven't seen it in a while.
Okay, essentially there was a point where there were 2 Battlestars, one of them was Pegasus, and apparently it has a bit to do with what happened on Pegasus, so it's something to keep everyone waiting for season 4, which isn't coming out to like next year on TV or something.
Oh, wow.
And so, yeah. I have a few DVDs that have come up that need mentioning. Number one on my list, actually there's like 1 A, B, and C. Bender's Big Score, Futurama. They've come back with new content, and that DVD is awesome.
Now, are they going to re-release this? Are they starting the series up again? Or
they're
just
doing
movies?
4 straight-to-DVD movies, and I think they're going to see how it goes from there.
Oh, okay.
If it's in line with what this was, I cannot. It's coming back.
Oh, good.
It was so good. It's very very faithful to what the TV show was. The extras are amazing. They have the trailer that they did for An Inconvenient Truth with Al Gore, and they have a commentary. It was pretty funny. I was like, wow, this is really interesting. And then they get this... I don't know if she's Nobel Prize winning, but she's a very highly regarded mathematician to come in and talk about all the math references on Futurama. I didn't know this, but at least 2 or 3 of the writers on the show have PhDs in math.
Cool.
Which is why it's such high-level comedy. So, yeah. Love that. Hot Fuzz, the 3-disc collector's edition.
Yeah, let's talk
about
this. Oh,
that finally coming out?
Yes. There's one commentary that's going to make just about everyone want to buy it. There's one commentary that has Edgar Wright and a man who doesn't even do commentaries for his own movies, Quentin Tarantino.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Weird.
Quentin does commentaries for Eli Roth's films.
Yeah.
And not his own.
It's the oddest thing. So there's 5 commentaries. It's got all the extras from the UK edition, and then it's got some extra stuff. So I cannot wait.
3 discs. Wow, that must
be a lot
of stuff.
The third one was.
It seems like a double dip a little too soon, though, don't you think?
It is. I wish that a lot of people are complaining that they didn't announce it right away. Because a lot of people went through and spent a lot of money to get the Walmart editions that had the 2nd disc, so which I almost did, except the cover art was so bad. Oh, the cover art in this looks so good too. Oh, it's the like the Bad Boys 2 artwork.
So when was the when did it originally come on DVD? What was that, like July or
something like that?
See, it was over the summer.
It was less than 6 months ago. So yeah, a lot of people weren't happy, but a lot of people were like, "Man, it's so good, I've got to buy it."
I kind of agree with people who grumble about that because I wish they had announced that. That's one of the reasons I was so happy about Zodiac, where they said, you know, okay, you can either get the theatrical version now or you could just wait till January when the complete cut comes out. So I'm cool with that. But
is it going to be like 4 hours long, though?
No, it's only going to be like another like 15 minutes long.
Oh, it's only,
but they've got
okay.
a ton of extras on, including a documentary and cool. and commentary.
So, yeah, and I forgot what the third DVD was going to be. So, yeah. Okay, and I want to do a little bit of segue. This is a segue into the news, but I know Josh has been keeping up a little bit, but we need to talk some heroes.
Okay.
Because we talk about TV on this show too, and I want to see what you think of the season so far.
So I did not get into Heroes until this season started Barry and I met Milo at Comic-Con and stuff, so I want to get into it.
The gentleman who plays Peter Petrelli.
Yeah, so Peter. Yeah. And so bought the first season, watched the whole first season in like a week, like 20 episodes, like 4 days. And it was at the beginning of school, so I didn't have a lot of homework. And I was disappointed with the beginning of this season, but I think it's starting to pick up. And I actually think this writer's strike helped them push things forward faster.
Well, they were going to do it in two separate chapters. So this is kind of the ending of the first chapter, but apparently they made it so it could be the end of the season if they have to.
Okay.
I hate the Wunderlist twins.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, the
they need to die.
Well, I was glad that Siler, sorry if you don't watch the show.
Spoiler alert, skip ahead about
Siler killed the brother. I was glad about that
because I was so happy. I'm like, there's
thank you.
If only one to kill the other one, though.
They got some kind of thing going on now.
Well, he figured, you know why he did that, right?
No.
To see if he could if she could control her powers to start.
Oh, yeah, so he can take it. Yeah,
so he
can
take it. If he needed the brother or not. So
you don't think he actually likes her? You don't think he kind of maybe.
No, he did.
The clocks were ticking last week, which really made me excited because I was like, his powers are coming back.
Yes, I hate them. I hate how long they kept Hiro in Japan.
Yeah,
completely needless.
But it's been worth it now because we know who Adam is.
Well, and
but it shouldn't have not been that long of a story.
Yeah, and part of the reason I bring this up is in Entertainment Weekly they actually did an interview with Tim Kring, the creator of the show, and he said he actually came out and like apologized to fans for how bad the season's been.
Oh.
He said the 4 months ago things should have started the season. They should have started the season with the virus.
Yeah,
he apologized for making the Hiro in Japan thing so long. He's like, we needed it, but it wasn't justified to take that long. And
yeah.
But you're right. It's gearing up really good.
And two heroes are supposed to die next week, and I'm guessing it's going to be Parkman and Suresh.
See, I hope it's Suresh. He's turning into a little girl.
He's kind of a little butthole.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to kill Parkman.
Yeah.
Because of the way that they're setting him up, to go down the slippery slope to being a bad guy.
Oh, that's true. But Siler and the Wonder Girl was in Parkman's apartment with the little girl.
That's true. So with Molly.
Parkman? Oh, where's Parkman? Could be dead.
That could be so interesting if they'd send him down the primrose path to evil.
Yeah.
I'm hoping. So, yeah, okay, let's go ahead and move on to the other notes. We don't talk about TV shows much, and this is a huge TV geek show. So.
I just know next week, tomorrow is going to be like the...
Is it going to be a one-hour or two-hour episode?
I don't know. Okay, because
apparently they're skipping Journeyman for a week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I'm hoping...
Hopefully it's 2 hours.
I'm not sure.
If they don't get things like wrapped up tomorrow... I might not.
Is the last episode.
No, I know, but I'm saying if it doesn't like fully come together, like it needs to.
Yeah,
might call it quits.
The problem was that it took half the season to get going. That was my issue with it. Yeah. I almost quit watching altogether. So let's move on to other news.
Your geek flags like flapping on the wind.
My geek is showing.
All right, so news?
Yes.
Okay. Christian Bale, it's official. This was just a crazy rumor, but it's official. He's going to be playing John Connor in the next few Terminator films. He signed on to play John Connor in Terminator Salvation, the next one that opens up summer of 2009. And apparently it's a two-parter, so he's going to be playing John Connor for two films.
Now, this is going to be set post...
Right, post-T3, right? And it's Man Against the Machines.
Okay.
And it's basically leading up to everything where John Connor has to create time travel and creates, you know, the ability for Michael Biehn to go back in time so he can impregnate his mom. How weird and Freudian is that? And basically allow all the events of T2, 1, and 3 to basically add up.
So, could be good. It could be really cool.
Yeah, but who's directing it?
Oh, no.
Isn't it like Mick G?
Ugh, Mick crap.
Yeah, it's going to be Charlie's Angels with the Terminator.
Mm.
Hopefully there's going to be motorcycle stunts.
Okay, so the one thing that I've loved of him, I mean, I had fun with the Charlie's Angels movies. There's no doubt about it. They're fun popcorn movies.
The first one, I'll go with you on that one, not the second one.
Okay.
But the Terminator, they can't have that level of fun to them.
Well, that's what I was going to say. His stuff that I've liked has been fun. He did the Chuck... pilot episode as well.
That's right. That was very good.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
I dare say that's the best thing he's directed us. Because I didn't care for We Are Marshall at all.
Yeah, but Terminator is not going to be fun like that.
Yeah.
I just, oh.
It's going to be a lot of
slow-mo. They need to get like Guillermo del Toro or something.
Which makes me wonder, how did they get him to be John Connor?
Hmm.
Yeah.
He has to have some kind of script approval or something.
Or it could be like, you know, a lot of money.
That's true.
A lot, like $20 million. Who knows?
Which means he's going to win an Oscar for something this year.
That's right.
Because the next movie
You know what? I say good for him. I mean, Christian Bale has like killed himself for parts over and over again. I mean, we were talking about Rescue Dawn earlier. I mean, the guy has been through hell. I'm glad he's going to have fun doing a $20 million movie where he carries around a gun and shoots robots for two movies.
That's true.
It's kind of so he's earned it. He's earned that right.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, hopefully it won't be like Catwoman bad.
Oh,
that's all I'm hoping for.
I'm hoping not.
It won't be. Who did he didn't do McDrip?
No, that was a guy with one name, Pitoff. His name was Pitoff.
Yeah, so okay, yeah. Let's keep going with the Bale news. Ain't It Cool has put up some pictures of the Joker and of the Dark Knight of Batman. Batman looks absolutely awful.
It looks like George Clooney is back as Batman.
The one thing I can say in its defense is that in the comics and in Batman Begins even, the Batman suit was never seen in full light.
Yeah.
So that could hopefully work in its... Because, I mean, if you think about it, a guy running around in a bat suit in broad daylight, you know, the straight jackets are coming out. But at night, freaks people out. So yeah. I'm hoping... The big news is that there's like five pictures of Heath Ledger as the Joker. Dude.
He looks cool.
Very creepy.
Yeah. I cannot wait.
Yeah. I mean, the Joker is scary again.
That's... Granted, the last picture looks like something out of Funny Girl or something. Yeah. But, you know?
He needs like an umbrella.
Singing in the rain. Yeah. It was like, okay. But yeah, I cannot wait for that movie. That's between that and Iron Man, next year is going to be a great geek year.
Next in Indiana Jones 4.
Get smart.
Yeah.
Get smart.
It's going to be amazing year.
So yes.
Amazing year.
Oh, and Hellboy, by the way. Here's news. Posters came out on Slash Film.
Yes.
Of Hellboy.
Yeah, the banners.
There's three of them. There was one of Liz and Abe and Hellboy. So not really revealing of anything, but
still. Cool. You know, yeah. Oh, I can't wait. The first movie was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
It was a great time. So have you got anything else, Mr. Barry?
Yeah. some supermodel we don't know and don't care about has been cast as Wonder Woman in Justice League of America. You know, bless her, maybe she's an amazing actress, but I would dare say she's not, and the movie's going to suck.
It's like you're hoping this is another Superman thing.
Yeah.
You know, they bring in the guy who's relatively unknown.
Yeah,
you know?
Brandon Routh was a soap opera actor. So
yes,
you
know. Yes, and
yeah.
You'd so be surprised
now, are they doing? Because I still don't understand. They're not. Was this supposed to be motion capture, and then they scrapped that? Right?
No,
right.
It was just a rumor at one point.
Oh, it was just a rumor.
It was just a rumor.
And now they're doing a live action Justice League movie,
which is
with no names.
Yes. And Superman and Batman director. Not counting. Well, no, George Miller's done good stuff.
He's done great stuff.
Yes. Okay.
But, yeah. The Mad Max movies.
Oh, okay.
The John Lithgow segment of Twilight Zone, the movie. Well, but the last thing he did, though, was Happy Feet.
Oh.
And before that, it was Babe, Pig in the City.
Oh, he did Babe, Pig in the City?
Yeah. So it's kind of a toss up a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Wow.
I'm not holding up any hope because of the amount of effects they're going to have to use. And the story's lame. If it's according to what I've read, it is a lame story.
Well, you can't you can't origin all these characters in a Justice League movie. Well,
and the main problem is we have Justice League New Frontier, the animated film coming out beginning of next year. And I think that's going to be so good, they're going to be like, oh, crap. We have to
now, is that a direct-to-DVD?
Yes, yeah. It's from the same production team that did the Superman Doomsday movie. Oh, okay. And I think Paul Dini and Bruce Timm are involved. And they were behind this Batman animated series originally and stuff like that. I guess I should just keep going with the comic news, huh, since I went all comic booky on everyone.
Let's get it.
We have pictures from the Watchmen set.
Yay.
This is like Frank Miller's Sin City levels of recreation.
It looks beautiful. It looks like how I remember New York in the 80s, really creepy, scary, loaded with pimps, drug dealers, and hookers. And
yeah, the newsstand looks exactly how it did in the comic.
Wow. Yeah, but, yeah, it's uncanny. It is so uncanny.
The cafe, I mean, all that stuff.
Just seeing the newspaper stand is like, this is how I imagined it. This is how I remember it.
Yeah, and because that's one of the, it's interesting. You have all this iconic imagery in it, and the newsstand is one thing that always sticks out to me.
Yeah.
And they got it so right.
Now, I have not read Watchmen, so.
Oh, man. Read it when you can, man. I always say, you know, if you never read a comic book in your life, and I don't.
Next time you're down, anything. I'll let you borrow it.
Okay. Did you get it back from someone? Okay.
Yes, I did.
just checking.
That certain someone did not finish it, but yes.
Okay.
Because no, certain someone can't really read, actually. That's certain.
Oh, okay. That's enough.
Because I do want to read it just to like the movie better.
It's really a happy story.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Yeah, it's tough stuff, but it's brilliant.
It's not something you're going to sit through and read in an evening. Or if you do, you're going to want to kill yourself.
Okay. Yes. Won't do that then.
It's not a happy book, but it's
amazing. I'll spend Christmas break reading it.
Yes, it's perfect for the Yuletide time of year. Wow.
A lot of pretty colors, just like Christmas.
Yes, there you go. Have you got anything else, sir?
Just that Cloverfield is officially, we can all relax, it's been officially titled Cloverfield.
And the trailer That new trailer is so good.
It's pretty sweet.
No
monsters, though. I wonder who are the monsters, really? Are there really monsters in Cloverfield?
I think you saw part of a body and it was like as tall as a building. Yeah. So unless like they're building mechs or something.
Just giant mechs come out of the water.
Yeah.
I hope, you know, I kind of don't want to see the monster.
I think that'd be cool. Yeah, the trailer really sets it up so well. It's
kind of cool. I mean, this January we have that and Rambo to look forward to. I mean, when was the last time you got excited about January?
I know, it's January.
It's pretty cool.
Oh, Rambo. But the concept behind it's so interesting. I have to see it, but yeah. I think it's going to be awful.
He's not fighting Mormons, right? Wasn't that the
first
thing?
No.
Yeah, that was the previous draft. It was something different.
He was like, wasn't he fighting like evangelist Mormons or something?
No, it was a
Or you thinking of that John Lithgow, John Voight movie?
Oh, no. Yeah, no.
Oh,
no.
Yeah, I think it's
September Dawn.
Yeah, September Dawn was about a bunch of cannibalistic Mormons. Oh,
okay,
yes. Yeah.
There we go.
Yes. No Rambo in that.
No, it was originally going to be Rambo against a militia, like a super right-wing militia. Right.
Oh,
yeah. So, this time, no, he's actually helping missionaries get to Burma and then save them when they realize that they...
When they get captured.
Yeah,
So it's...
That's actually the whole line of dialogue. That's the tagline.
That's when he realizes that they've been captured.
That's why this is coming out in January. Yeah. No. After Rocky, I have to give him some due. Give him some props.
Rocky was good.
Rocky was very good, man.
Wait and see. Yeah. So, have we got anything else?
Nope.
All right, let's go ahead and take a quick break, and we will be right back.
We're here at Geek Label Laboratories to discover if wearing quality Geek Label t-shirts will actually make you smarter. Joining us today is Rodney.
Blinky lights, pretty.
Now we'll outfit Rodney in a sweet as love Geek Label t-shirt. Now we'll introduce Rodney to Schrodinger's cat in the hopes that he will successfully explain the inadequacy of early quantum mechanical theory.
Ooh, tastes like chicken.
Rodney, no.
Snack size.
Look smart and feel fly in your custom Geek Label t-shirt. Ladies' tee. Or any of the many styles now available, including grilling aprons. You pick the style, you pick the color, we do the rest. Will Geek Label products actually make you smarter?
Decoherence make Rodney hungry.
No, dumbass, they're custom t-shirts. They're not magic t-shirts. Another fine product from geeklabel.com.
I said it on Game Crazy Game Crazy Radio, but I'm just laughing like at the end there. Yeah, it's
good stuff.
Oh, I got to tell Mr. Billy Flynn. You've been talking about how much you have enjoyed Portal, which I'm sure everyone who's played it has.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a fantastic game. But you said that you didn't want to play Half-Life 2, and that astonishes me, because if you think Portal's great, your pants are just going to fly off in the first, 5 seconds of Half-Life 2. It is so awesome. And especially if you sit down and play Half-Life 2, Episode 1, and Episode 2, it's, phenomenal.
Very cool.
So...
And you've been catching up on their show a bit, haven't you?
Yeah, I just started turning in a month ago, and I'm
gone. It's awesome. 20 episodes, yeah.
Yeah,
you are now a member to catch up, the cult of Geek Label.
Yeah, now yes, I am.
The Church of Geek Label.
I will be on the forum soon.
Yes. So let's go ahead and talk about our topic. We've been having fun. Now we get to have fun ripping on really bad movies.
That's right. Our topic is Coal Under the Christmas Tree. Really, really bad Christmas movies. And boy, there are a lot of these.
I wish I would have remembered to go, because if I'd thought about it ahead of time, I would have gotten rented a Bill Goldberg's Santa Sleigh. Mm. Where he's like a killer.
Yes. Yes.
Sorry.
But that's a great way to start this off. Thank you. We're definitely on. I think we should probably end with our favorite Christmas movies. And I know you wanted to take an interesting direction talking about what we like to do for Christmas and what we watch for Christmas. We'll end it on a high note, because really this could be really, really depressing.
That's why I wanted to add the other. And this probably won't take too long. So.
Yeah, you mentioned Santa's Sleigh. I'm going to just jump in with Jim Carrey as the Grinch.
Oh,
you didn't like The Grinch?
That movie makes me angry.
Oh, yes.
It does?
Very angry.
Why?
It was such a departure from the book, and there was so much adult content that had absolutely no business being in there.
I thought it was really overdone. I thought it took a really beautiful and simple story and just made it into this big, garish Vegas attraction. I thought it was just really bad. I thought the girl who played Cindy Lou Who was obnoxious. I wanted to drop kick her, which is not the effect I had when I watched the original.
You watched the cartoon.
The cartoon, which I just saw a few days ago, and it's so beautiful and charming and perfect, and I thought that Ron Howard just really bloated this movie. And he got into the lives of the Whoville people. Who cares about these people?
Yeah, and it helps that the original was done by Chuck Jones.
Yes.
So it had that very Jones-esque feel to it, which was always good in the Tom and Jerry cartoons and the Wile E. Coyote stuff. Those were all the best stuff was when he did it. So
yeah.
I think he brought the best of everything to The Grinch Who Stole Christmas.
Yeah, and then you got Jim Carrey looking like a green Wookiee. This is one of our finest... He's like one of our finest screen comedians, and like you can barely even see him in the movie. And
of course, Dr. Seuss hasn't done so well in the movies, period. So
not so far.
Not good.
Cat in the Hat.
Horton Hears a Who looks interesting, but
Horton. Yeah, thank goodness. But yeah, like Cat in the Hat is so much worse.
Okay, sorry, I'm derailing this. I've had people ask me to not derail quite so much. So.
Oh no. I mean,
now are we talking about Christmas themed movies or bad movies that came out on Christmas?
We can go that direction too. There's a lot of those too. I mean, I always think of Trespass opening on Christmas Day. Like, who wants to see like white firemen and African American gangsters shoot each other on Christmas? What kind of Ice-T and Ice Cube deck the halls? I mean, what a terrible.
Oh, yeah. You had to go mention Deck My Balls.
I did mention Deck My Balls. Yes, I haven't seen it yet though.
No,
we didn't see Deck.
No,
I didn't either.
Why would you ever?
Didn't see Fred Claus. Did you guys see Fred Claus?
No, I heard it was terrible. Yeah. Really, really bad.
I'm at the point where I my money has to be spent very well, and that's just not it.
Well, there's also a matter of time. It's like, I mean, I'm sure after 2 minutes of Deck the Halls, you can probably guess how it's going to end, but like, do you really want to take that journey?
No.
I don't. No, I don't. I don't want to go there. I really don't. Has Arnold Schwarzenegger ever done a movie worse than Jingle All the Way? Has he?
I like Jingle All the Way.
You like Jingle All the Way?
I'm probably one of the only people that like Jingle.
Really?
It's so bad. It's so funny. Like, I.
What is the Turbo Man?
Doesn't he go to like some elf factory and like where they're like.
That's the low point.
They're like making illegal.
Yeah, James Belushi's like the head of this illegal elf. It's like these corrupt Santas and they've got like nunchucks and oh. So.
Oh,
bad.
Yeah. Don't they beat the crap out of him?
Yeah, they do. They beat
after he pays them for the doll, like breaks, right?
Right.
This didn't, yeah. I don't know. him and Stallone need to do a Christmas movie together. Can you imagine?
And Jean-Claude Van Damme?
And Van Damme and Statham.
Wow.
Maybe Statham.
Ooh.
Too.
I think Statham would be like, nah.
No, not that.
Statham would be like, nah, I draw the line somewhere.
Only if it was directed by Uwe Boll.
Oh, that's true.
I'm going to throw this one out because I just watched this the other night. Have you guys seen Mixed Nuts?
No.
It's Steve Martin, Madeline Kahn, Adam Sandler, Gary Shandling, who else? Rita Wilson. It's like all these great screen comedians, and it was written and directed by Nora Ephron, who did Sleepless in Seattle, and it's really terrible. Like, as a kid, I gave it a lot of slack because it's Steve Martin, but like looking at it now, it's a really bad. It's a black comedy. It takes place on Christmas Eve, and it's a suicide hotline center, and all the people who answer the phones are so psychotic that everybody who calls them ends up killing themselves. It's really
it's a Christmas movie. What's it called?
It's called Mixed Nuts. And Liev Schreiber makes his film debut in
Cotton?
The movie. Yes, and he plays a drag queen. He's in drag the whole movie. And the funniest part of the movie is when Steve Martin and Liev Schreiber have this tango, this drag tango together. It's the funniest part of the whole movie. It's a really terrible film.
Is this real? You're not making this up.
No, I swear. It's called Mixed Nuts. It's really, really bad. Like, I saw it as a kid, and it was a big flop. It was barely in theaters. It opened like around Christmas time. And it's like, not only is it, it's depressing because the subject matter, we're supposed to be laughing about like people shooting themselves over the phone. But it's depressing because you got all these great actors like just basically yelling at each other and like slamming into each other with slapstick for 2 hours. It's really bad. It really, I mean, it's
okay.
Yeah, it's really, really bad, Chris.
How do you find these movies?
It was pretty high profile when it came out. But,
oh,
you know, but
Mixed Nuts.
Anyway, there's a reason we don't remember it. All right. Did anybody see Unaccompanied Minors?
Yes. No. Will, I kind of enjoyed it.
The Wilmer Vildorama Christmas.
It wasn't that bad.
No.
I remember after I saw it, I could see it was said, essentially staged as a Breakfast Club for kids.
I've heard Home Alone in an airport.
It has, trust me. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it yet.
If you watch it, you're like, okay, that's the Judd Nelson character. That's the Molly Ringwald character. I mean, it's dead on, but it was actually kind of fun. I didn't want to hurt myself for watching it. It was all right. Hmm. It's mediocre, yeah.
Okay. Well, have you guys seen All I Want for Christmas?
No.
It's Thora Birch, like back when she was a little kid, and it's Lauren Bacall and Kevin Nealon. Really bad. Really bad. They go to Santa Claus, played by Leslie Nielsen, and they wish for their parents to get back together. So it's like a Christmas parent trap.
I remember seeing the DVD cover and being like, damn.
Yeah, it's a movie that even Leslie Nielsen can't possibly save. It's really bad.
Ouch.
Really bad. Ouch. All right, well, I'll end up with my list. I mean, it's going to come up in a little bit, but Silent Night, Deadly Night. You know, for all the charming things about the movie, I love talking about this movie because I actually taught – this movie in my film class because it's the only movie the PTA, you know, the Parent Teacher Association, ever went out of the way to pick it when it was in theaters. Because the, you know, the trailer of Santa Claus walking around with a knife and a gun, you know, really frightened little children. So parents all over America were picketing this horror film. And it's a really bad, bad film. It's really tacky and cheesy. And it's not a good film at all. So okay. That's why I thought I'd bring it up.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So it's a holiday horror movie that just wasn't as good.
It's just, you know, there's so many interesting ways you can go with that. I mean, Black Christmas, the original Black Christmas, is a great Christmas horror film, really great movie, period. And this just does everything wrong. It's just a really cheesy, it's like, I mean, even any of those Friday the 13th sequels are so much scarier than anything in Silent Night, Deadly Night. It's just so tacky. I mean, a girl gets impaled with, like, reindeer antlers at one point. It's like all this Christmas crap. Like, a girl gets hung by, like, by
mistletoe?
Like, yeah, by mistletoe. By mistletoe? She gets hung by mistletoe.
One little strain of mistletoe just holding underneath.
Well, it's a big strain. Yeah. It's so stupid. It's so dumb. I mean, you know, this kid, like, witnesses, like, his mom gets, like, killed by a Santa Claus guy, so he grows up and becomes obsessed with, and before he kills someone, he goes, "Naughty!" I'm not kidding. It's terrible.
Do you say like a question like that? Like, "Naughty?"
No, no, no. Or like, "Naughty!" Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, the new Black Christmas had, let's see, we had cookie cutter on the back. He made cookies out of their flesh.
Yeah.
Out of his mom, right?
Oh, yeah, out of his mom.
Yeah.
He had like some hermaphrodite sister with up in the attic, wasn't it?
Wow. Even that wasn't in the original.
Yeah,
man.
And we had Christmas lights hanging, people. I'm trying to think of what else. Was there anything else Christmas?
Yeah, you and your mom saw this on Christmas Day.
Yeah, we
right?
went on Christmas Day and saw this film. yeah, not good. Not good.
Okay, let's.
It's like a Marilyn Manson family Christmas. Let's go see Black Christmas.
What do you want to go see? Black Christmas.
Okay.
I want to go see Thanksgiving.
Yeah. All right. Let's keep going, sir. I'm sure there's gonna be something on there that
I'm actually done. I was hoping you guys would throw some.
I thought, oh, okay. I remember you deep. Thinking that you didn't like Santa Claus the movie very much.
I did not. No. Yeah. I saw that in the theater.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not really a fan awful. Of any of those movies.
And it's, you know, just, that one is so sugary sweet. It's like impossible to get engaged. Like Elf does everything right because, you know, on one hand it is sugary sweet and cute, but it like makes fun of all that.
Yeah.
And you know, Will Ferrell actually plays a real character, which is why it's so good. Santa Claus the movie, it's all these middle-aged actors like Dudley Moore in like tights. And, you know, and little elf hats, you know, with this, you know, and he's like, you know, "I'm going to leave the North Pole." And he's got this accent, even though no one else does in the whole movie. Like, why does this one elf have a British accent, you know? And it's the effects are cheesy. It's just this, it's almost like it's everything a Christmas movie that you know, it's like everything that Home Alone 3 was. It's just this tacky, cheesy. Yeah. It's like being force-fed a candy can, essentially, until you throw up.
Okay, so I think this is enough of the bad stuff. That's why I wanted to move on, because, you know, you can talk
We don't
bad.
Want to talk about Home Alone 2?
I like all the, well, not, no, I only like the first two Home
One
Alone
One is
movies.
Great. I can't defend
you
two.
You can't do
two. With the magical bag lady in New York, no.
The
pigeon lady, I can't defend that at all.
Aw.
And I love Tim Curry, too, but, like, even he couldn't save it. Donald Trump couldn't save it with his glorious cameo. No, I...
What about Ernest Saves Christmas?
That's Ooh. A great Christmas movie. Yeah. I love Ernest Saves Christmas.
Yeah, that was like the last good one because I think the next one was Ernest Goes to Jail.
Exactly, and that's when it started to really go downhill.
Was awful.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm we'll not have to do say anything. I'm like a huge Ernest buff.
Goes to Jail was awful.
Okay, him getting the electrocution powers at the end, though, was pretty funny.
Yeah, okay.
The one I really didn't like because I thought it was so cheeseball was Ernest Scared Stupid.
That's my favorite
is
one.
Is it real?
Are you serious? It's terrible. It's so funny.
The only part of it I remember is where Ernest is like, that's so difficult. That's like Super Mario Brothers level 10.
That's the only well, what about like and the then you have the geek swing. Wait, there's no level 10.
What about like the Miak stuff when he's getting the milk or like – I actually just watched that not that long ago with some friends that had never seen it, and it was so freaking funny.
You know what? I need to see it again because I haven't seen it since 91 when it was in
the
theaters.
Oh, really?
That's
so
yeah,
cheesy.
I saw the day it opened, but no, I do need to see it again. We should do a whole – we do need to do a segment on Ernest movies.
We should do that.
That is a cult unto itself. So,
anyway. Do you really want to sit through all of them again?
I will sit through the first like four.
I don't know if I can handle Slam Dunk Ernest.
No, I don't want to.
Okay,
Ernest
yeah. theatrical release.
Theatrical release again.
Or, yeah, Ernest getting the army. No, none of those. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on to some of our favorites.
All right.
Favorite Christmas movies, or Christmas stuff? Because some of my favorite Christmas stuff has nothing to do with movies.
Okay. Well, I'm going to wait to hear what yours is because I think you and I have the same favorite Christmas movie. You go.
Oh,
ahead.
Really?
Yeah.
No, you go, because I don't. I actually don't even. Well, I was gonna say like the Rudolph stuff, the original Rudolph. Like,
okay, the Burl Ives stuff.
I was hoping you would say Gremlins.
I didn't even think of that. That is kind of a Christmas movie.
It's a Christmas movie. It's a sick, wrong Christmas movie. But it's okay, a Christmas
that
movie.
Might be my favorite Christmas movie then.
Very cool.
That's like one of my favorite movies of all time. So
very cool.
I didn't even put that together.
I can't go wrong with this old standby Christmas Story.
You know, next to that one, I'd have to go with that one. Because I actually saw that in the theater. And even as a small child, I remember that movie just completely enchanted me.
Yeah, I had a great time with it. My mother was horrified. Because I was like,
the sexual humor?
Yeah, because I was so young. And yeah, it's a blue ball. You know, stuff I would never catch as a kid until like the last, you know, whatever years. Yeah. But my favorite stuff is the Christmas episodes of Futurama.
Mm.
Because John Goodman voices a robot, Santa Claus, that has deemed everybody in the world naughty. So if you're out on the streets on Christmas Eve, he kills you with rocket launchers and machine guns and stuff. It is hilarious.
That sounds great. I haven't seen
it. Oh, yeah. In the second episode, like, Bender has to take over, and you see, like, Kwanzaa Bot, and he's giving up books that say, what the hell is Kwanzaa anyway? And the other Santa Claus ends up breaking out. They try to start, like dressing up as other characters, and Dr. Zoidberg dresses as Jesus, and yeah.
That sounds amazing.
I want to see that tonight. It is some of the funniest stuff.
I can't do
ever.
The South Park Christmas episodes while I watch them. I can't watch them around the holidays because they're so like graphic and like, well, this is way wrong.
I was thinking like the original Mr. Hanky episode. I figured you'd
mention. Okay, they had one. It's the Christmas Critters, Woodland Critter Christmas. I'm sorry. Cartman dreams up these Christmas critters and he makes up this story about how there's these evil critters in the woods that like are gonna give birth to the Antichrist on Christmas, and Santa comes and has to kill the Antichrist, and it's like, wow. So
yeah, okay, I can imagine that.
Don't watch that on
the show. So,
but the Office episode, the Office Christmas episodes are really good with Dwight wearing the elf ears and stuff.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, you know, there was a Christmas episode of the British version. It was the last episode. Oh, I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard that was a really good one too. So.
I got to say Nightmare Before Christmas. I like that.
Okay.
Is that a Christmas movie?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's you know, it's a, you know, you get best of both worlds.
Yeah.
Aren't you a Wonderful Life guy or
not so much?
Not so much.
White Christmas. I'm a huge White Christmas nut.
It's a great film.
We just watched it last night actually. We were decorating for Christmas.
That's cool.
Danny Kaye is so awesome in that. And Vera Ellen, like the best dancer I've ever seen in a movie in my entire life. It's well worth watching. We're going to watch It's a Wonderful Life, I think, tonight or something.
Cool,
You know, Elf, you mentioned Elf. The movie had, you're right, it had a sweet sugary coating around the cynicism, but, you know, it still had such a sweet heart at its center that I love that movie.
Absolutely. Though to go in the South Park route, I got to say, I love Christmas Vacation. I don't know what I love more, the exploding cat or the part where the tree burns down, but I just love that movie. Of Christmas Vacation.
Do you guys like the original, like the 19, I don't know what year those were made, but the Santa Claus coming to town and the
like the stuff with the Burl Ives music and
yeah.
Oh yeah, those are kind of classics.
I'm gonna be a dentist.
Yeah,
it's such a strange. I mean, I live for the Abominable Snowman. The one in that and the one in Monsters Inc. They just make me so happy. I could just watch that footage in a loop. You know.
Yes.
Oh, Charlie Brown.
Charlie Brown. Christmas, yes.
Yes, that's getting ready to come up. That's a classic.
Well, I just saw it again recently. When Linus tells the Christmas story on stage, it always chokes me up. It's so sweet. It's such a beautiful little scene.
It's so earnest.
Isn't the music like, oh. God.
How about Scrooge? Do you guys fans of Scrooge?
Oh, Scrooge. You know, I've only seen that like once.
Yeah, really? I saw it once. It was okay. Not the biggest fan. Okay, I guess we can go ahead and segue this into... Do you have any church movies that you or TV shows that you traditionally watch every year? For us, we tend to watch A Christmas Story. I mean, Christmas Carol. Generally, the one with George C. Scott, because that one was amazing. But we have also got the one with Patrick Stewart, which is pretty good too.
Nice.
But we have to watch that once a year. It's just okay.
Sure.
You know, it doesn't have to be on a specific day, but it's coming up. Yeah, let's watch it.
Nice.
So yes.
Yeah, I got to go with the George C. Scott one because, like I always say, like to me, Dickens' book was a gothic ghost story. I mean, that's in that song, it's the most wonderful time of the year where they're saying there'll be scary ghost stories. I mean, they're talking about Dickens. And I think the George C. Scott one is the closest to that because really the story is this really creepy ghost story with this really happy ending. And I think the George C. Scott version gets closest to that because all the other ones are like, Scrooge just doesn't seem all that
Hey, Mickey Christmas Carol. Mickey's Christmas Carol was pretty freaky.
Mickey's Christmas Carol is awesome. Yes. Love Mickey's Christmas Carol. Yes.
You guys gone.
I can't go with this there.
Muppet's Christmas.
No.
It's terrible.
No. Okay. Yeah. My other thing I tried it. We haven't done it the last year or so because generally on New Year's Eve we end up taking on some mammoth movie watching thing. A few years ago we watched the entire Lord of the Rings extended trilogy in one sitting. Dumbest thing I've ever done in my life.
Did you feel like you'd gone on that journey yourself?
Absolutely.
You're like, oh, thank God, Rebecca, the Shire.
Yeah, I was falling asleep near the end.
You just smell like Mordor.
I mean, it's a good movie. They're great movies, don't get me wrong, but that's a lot to take in a row. It ended up being about 12 hours or something like that.
Man alive.
Wow.
Yeah, then this past year we watched the entire original Star Wars trilogy.
That's cool.
But I think the quintessential New Year's Eve movie has to be The Hudsucker Proxy.
I love that film.
You might be
now we're both angry at you.
Yeah. It's one of the best. It's one of my favorite Coen Brothers movies, hands down.
I love When Harry Met Sally. And TBS has this thing every year where they actually make sure that the countdown of New Year's Eve is actually in sync with the movie. So you can celebrate New Year's Eve with Meg Ryan and Billy Crystal.
That's kind of cool, actually.
I think so. And I love that film.
Yes.
So.
We usually end up watching Charlie Brown and Rudolph.
Cool.
And
nothing wrong with the classics.
No, it's good stuff.
Cool. No.
I never understood why was it Cornelius who wanted to be a dentist?
Yeah, was that his name?
Was it
Cornelius?
He was a misfit, right?
Herbie.
And he wanted to be a dentist.
Yeah.
Wow.
Why?
Well, they eat a lot of candy up there. They eat a lot of candy up there, so he can make
He wanted
a lot
to set
money.
Up an early retirement, so yep. There you go.
I need to go away.
Okay, well, let's...
I never understood... No, here's my question. I never understood why a lion was in charge of the Misfit Toys. I know he's king of the jungle, but he's not king of, like, overpriced, like, toys or, like, retard toys. Like,
yeah, it's like the North Pole. What's a lion doing in the North Pole? Yeah.
You want to live with the lions? You're not a toy.
Wow.
Okay, let's move on. Let's go. It's sinking. This parachute's actually a knapsack. Okay, let's go ahead and talk about what's hitting theaters this week. And
oh, we're done.
Yeah,
I just totally killed that.
No. It seemed like a good time to let the topic end as opposed to let it drag and die. And,
yeah, we've done that.
We've done it too often.
Previous show, really.
Yeah, pretty much. We're trying to change that a little bit. That's our New Year's resolution.
All right. Well, it kind of sucks though because we were going.
That's
from come from a really happy topic to the Golden Compass,
or as I call it, the Golden Compass.
Yeah. That's really it. And in limited release, you've got Grace Is Gone, which I love. John Cusack, excellent film. And Juno, which is getting all this great buzz. They're both in limited release.
Like they 4 and 7 screens levels of limited. So.
Yeah. I mean, if you live in a small town, you're not really going to be able to see these until January, probably, sad to say.
Yeah. I think we're getting Juno, I think, just after Christmas.
Yeah. We're getting on the 25th. Yeah. We're getting on the
25th.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Oh, that's what we're going
to see. Yeah. And Grace Is Gone is probably going to be like in Denver in one theater that you have to like drive through. Gangland territory to get to, so
that's kind of a bummer,
to go through
but
the blood and the crips.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, it's not too early. We don't have to worry about this. Why don't you tell us what you thought of the Golden Compass? Because you saw it last night.
I did. It was a national sneak preview. So everybody seen. Everybody could talk about it. I think it's this year's Aragon. Honestly.
Oh no.
It's just
didn't Aragon come out this year?
It was last year. It was around this time last year. It just. You know, I'm not a fan of the book, but it's funny. After the movie, I found myself really defending the book a lot. It just not only is it, it just it leaves so much out that is so important, and it's a very muddled film. I found myself very confused, and even like my wife's asking me like questions like, "Well, what does that mean? Why are they doing this?" I'm like, you know what? I don't know. And this movie really isn't helping me understand this any better. The film is like it's a drag. It's really unappealing and a drag to sit through for about an hour until Sam Elliott shows up. And his character just brings the whole movie to life. The talking panda bears are cool, but still completely ridiculous.
The giant talking warrior pandas.
Still completely.
For those from previous episodes.
Completely ridiculous, the polar bears. And, I mean, the special effects are cool and everything, but it's just, it's a drag. And it's not fun. It's not exciting. It's just not all that interesting. And people made a big deal about, about the religious implications of the book. And to me, it's one of the most... uninteresting things about the movie. It's just there's nothing really about this film that I latched onto emotionally. I didn't have any, even like Nicole Kidman and Daniel Craig, which it's funny enough, they were actually so much better than The Invasion. They were so good in that movie compared to how they are in this movie. They seem like their hearts really just weren't in it.
Dang.
And did Sam Elliott show up and be like, no, you're the Ghost Rider?
You know, just
would like, that have been better? Would that have been better, probably?
That would have, anything would have helped this movie, anything. And I think the worst thing about it, the thing that made me so angry was that it leaves out about four chapters from the book. Like, it ends right in the middle of the climax. And like the whole point of the story about where it goes and the whole revelation about Nicole Kidman's character and Daniel Craig's character, they leave it out for another movie. So it's like, it's not even like Lord of the Rings where you've got like one and a half of the books in one movie. It's like you get half of a movie and there's all this stuff missing. It's just,
that's messed up.
Yeah. And even for people who never read the book, honestly, this is a muddled and unappealing movie. And it's a shame that New Line Cinema has been, you know, saying that this is their next Lord of the Rings movie. Cause really, this thing is not going to catch on. I give it one weekend because it's got the box office all to itself. It's going to have it one weekend, but I think word of mouth is going to kill this fast because it's just not fun.
I hope Enchanted makes more money than this does next week.
So far, it's been doing great.
Yeah.
Enchanted's done like $70 million. That's huge.
Yeah.
So
cool. Okay, well, yeah. Let's go ahead and move on to the DVDs for next week. And
all right, well, next week, speaking of crappy fantasy, you've got the fifth Harry Potter installment, the fifth one.
Did you not like it?
I haven't seen it.
It's good.
It was okay.
I've heard such bad things about it.
It's not great.
It's my least favorite of the Harry Potter movies by far, but it wasn't like awful.
They've been such a mixed bag for me because I love the second one and the third one, but I haven't liked the first or the fourth one.
There are certain things that they didn't resolve that I felt correctly, but apparently that's how they resolved them in the book too for the fifth one. But it's worth watching for sure.
Because I don't read the books at all. And so it was okay.
Okay.
It felt like it was just a build up for the next one.
You know, the battle at the end is worth watching by itself.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Mm.
I thought it was pretty well done.
Okay. So, yeah. Then you've got the Bourne 3, that's Bourne Ultimatum, and the Bourne Collector's Edition. So that's 7 hours of Matt Damon running. You know you want that.
Matt Damon.
And then, the release of the week, High School Musical 2. Yes.
Oh, you put that on the list.
Zach and Vanessa are back. Yes.
Oh.
So High School Musical 2. Then you get the Harry Potter Year 1-5 gift set, which is
a limited edition gift set, which it looks really cool. My question is, why couldn't you wait for the last two movies?
Oh, because there's money to be made right now.
Yeah.
Right now. Warner Brothers needs that money now, Dave.
So. I don't think Jimmy has all five movies.
Exactly.
Yeah. At least not this version.
Yeah.
Right. Then this is really cool. The Walt Disney Treasure Collection.
Yeah, so I've got these up right now. Every year, the Disney Company comes out with Walt Disney Treasures. They're old archival stuff that you just can't get anywhere else. Personally, I own On the Front Lines, which is a bunch of wartime stuff that they did. Some of it not politically correct. I've got the entire Davy Crockett, because who doesn't like Davy Crockett? Come on. Yeah. I've got the entirety of Disneyland. They have a Disneyland USA thing with a bunch of specials about the park. I've got the definitive Goofy set. I think I've got one of the Donald Duck collections. It's good stuff. So this year they're doing another Disneyland one called Disneyland Secrets, Stories and Magic, which is all kinds of stuff like archival footage that Walt took while they were building the park.
Oh, wow.
Like there's color footage and all kinds of stuff, like problems with the behind the scenes the first day when they were doing the opening day TV special live. I don't know how they did it, but it was amazing. Wow. Then you've also got the third volume of the Chronological Donald. So there are three volumes of Disney cartoons, of Donald Duck cartoons now.
Wow.
And then something that's really rare, really interesting, something that Disney just recently got the rights back for, there's The Adventures of Oswald the Lucky Rabbit, who essentially ended up being kind of the precursor to Mickey Mouse. He looks very similar, just with bigger, long bunny ears. But he's black, he's got the red pants, it's...
Interesting.
So yeah, I love these things because they're always cool. I keep hoping that they do Song of the South, but the 60th anniversary has already passed.
No, it's not going to happen.
No.
Poor Uncle Remus.
Hey, it wasn't a great movie, but
it's a fun movie. People are
it's a classic too much movie. Fuss over exactly, it. It's just but yeah, you know, as long as political correctness reigns, that movie is never going to see the light of day on a DVD shelf.
Yeah. So yeah. There's plenty of DVD goodness.
Yeah. Well, and then the last one on the list. Speaking of Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Yep.
The special edition, the uncut version, is coming out, which is ridiculous because there was actually the initial version of it that came out a couple years ago was called like one of the best DVDs ever because it had Silent Night, Deadly Night 1 and 2 on it. They both had commentaries and behind the scenes, and apparently the commentary for the second one was so funny because the guy who starred in it and played the slasher, he talked about his performance like he was talking about Robert De Niro. Like, it's supposed to be the funniest thing to talk about today. Yes, did so much research when I do this decapitation scene. Yes, yeah, like it was supposed to be one of the most unbelievably hilariously funny DVD commentaries ever. So, and that's not on this disc. So,
yes,
but yeah, for all of you Silent Night, Deadly Night fans, all two of you, this is a must for you. So
there you go, because yeah. You know it's a must.
Yeah,
or something. I don't know.
A stocking stuffer for the Osborne family. Yes,
a stocking or a stocking stuffer.
Very good, Dave.
That hurt even my brain. I do apologize to our entire listening audience for that awful, awful joke. Let's go ahead and wrap this up, I guess. If you'd like to send us an email, you can hit Barry or I, or Barry at Dave at, or Dave at ScreenGeeks.com. Thanks to Josh for joining us.
Thank you, Josh. Thank you, Josh's mom. Yay!
Yay!
Yes, well, and if you'd like to email us like properly about the show, you can email us at podcast@ScreenGeeks.com. And if you'd like to leave us a voicemail, you can give us a call at 719-966-4307. We'll play it. We'll talk about it. All that fun stuff. We've got some cool giveaways coming up and such, so...
Giveaways. I want something.
You want something? We're giving away a Criterion DVD.
We are.
In the next few weeks. We are.
Nice.
So, yes. I might let you, since you're not, you know, like, you're just a guest. So,
no, yeah.
You might be.
Can I enter to win?
Is he on the good list or the naughty list? Yeah,
probably naughty. Yeah, okay.
Is there like an in-between list? Probably on that one.
Yeah, I'll think of
purgatory
something.
Purgatory list?
Yeah.
Okay, well, on that happy note, let's close this out. This is Dave.
This is Barry.
And Josh.
Take it easy.